Thank you. Yeah? Thank you. You all have a legendary reputation as a poetry audience. So I'm going to say a couple of things. I wrote this book in argument with a number of books of poems and even with my own predilections as a writer. I wanted to write a book of poems that was more of a roller coaster than a smooth ride. I wanted to write a book of poems that wasn't all in one emotional key, even if that key was high and interesting. And so this, what I'm about to read to you tonight, is written in a number of different voices. They are meant to conflict, undercut one another. And also, because you can think of them as different characters speaking during a play, so that I'm going to try and be as personable as I can right now, because at a certain point I'm going to drop out and simply not talk anymore as myself. The book opens in the small town in Nevada, and one of the undercurrents of the book is the issue of money and what it meant to a state like Nevada when the military-industrial complex moved in with all its glittering technology and promise of wealth and began to test the atomic bomb near Las Vegas, and what that meant for a number of small mining towns, which had, you know, essentially been sold a bill of goods about how this was going to pour wealth into the state. Some of the voices that I'm going to read tonight are in prose. The first piece that I'm going to read is not about fiction in the sense of a particular genre. It's about the irresistible pull that certain models of narrative have, whether they're in fiction or poetry, if you're an American writer. Why I am a poet. Jill's a good kid who's had some tough luck, but that's another story. Anyway, she says, go ahead, tell about it, because nobody ever gets the woman's point of view. We are sitting at the blue light where Carl has just built us a couple of solid highballs. He's okay, Carl is, if you don't count his Roman hands and Russian fingers. But then again, that should be the only trouble we have in this life. I don't know. I'm looking out the window and it's Friday. The smell of fish from Tibbs' hash house is so strong you could build a garage on it. Maybe Jill's right. She's just a kid, but she's been around. She knows what's what. So we are at the blue light just like now, I tell Jill, when he comes in, and the first thing I notice is his hair, which has been vitalist into submission. But honey, it won't work, and it gives him a kind of rumpled your boudoir mine look. I noticed that before I noticed his face. It was kind of odd thinking back on it. Maybe it was just the highballs doing the looking. But anyway, then I see his face, and I'm telling you, I'm telling Jill, this is a masterpiece of a face. And then again, and this is the God's own truth, I am tired of beauty. Really, I know, given all that happened, this must sound kind of funny, but it made me tired just to look at him. That's how beautiful he was and how much he spelled T-R-O-U-B-L-E. So I threw him back. I mean, I didn't say it, I say to Jill, with my mouth, but I said it with my eyes and my shoulders. I said it with my heart. I said, honey, I'm throwing you back. And looking back, that was the worst, I mean, the worst thing bar none that I could have done, because it drew him the way shit draws flies. I mean, he didn't say it. He didn't walk over and say, hello, girls. Hey, you with the dark hair, your indifference draws me the way shit draws flies. But he said it with his eyes, and then he smiled. And that smile was a gas station on a dark night, and as wearying as all the rest of it. I am many things, but dumb is not one of them. And here is where I say to Jill, I just can't go on. I mean, how we get from the smile into the room, how it all happens and what all happens just bores me. I am a kind of a conceptual storyteller. In fact, I'm kind of a conceptual liver. I prefer the cookbook to the actual meal. Feeling bores me to tears. That's why I write poetry. You just give the instructions and say, reader, you go on from here. And what I like about poetry is its readers, because those are giving people. I mean, those are people you can trust to get the job done. They pull their own weight. If I had to have someone at my back in a dark alley, I'd want it to be a poetry reader. They're not like some people who maybe do it right if you say, put this foot down and now put that one in front of the other, button your coat, wipe your nose. So I really do it for the readers who work hard and I feel deserve something better than they're used to getting. I do it for the working stiff. And I guess I write the kinds of things I like to read. I write for people like myself who are just tired of the trickle-down theory, where someone spends ages and pages on some fat book where everything, including the goddamn draperies, which happen to be burnt orange, are described and further, and I mean further, are a goddamn metaphor for something. And the whole boggy waste trickles down to the reader in the form of a little fart of feeling. God, I hate prose. I think the average reader likes ideas. A sentence unlike a line is not a station on the cross. I said this to Mark Strand. I said I could not stand to write prose. I said I could not stand to have to write things like the draperies were burnt orange and the carpet was brown. And he said, you could do it. You could do it if that's all you did, if that was the very beginning and very end of your novel. So please, I say to Jill, don't ask me for the little trail of breadcrumbs to get you from the smile to the bedroom and from the bedroom to the death at the end. Although you can ask me a lot about death. That's all I like, the very beginning and the very end. I haven't got the stomach for the rest of it. I don't think many people do, but like me, they're either too afraid or too polite to say so. That's why the movies are such a disaster. Now, there's a form of popular culture that doesn't have a clue. Movies should be 5 minutes long. You should go in, see a couple of shots, maybe a room with orange draperies and a rug. A voiceover would say, I'm having a hard time getting Raoul, the protagonist, from the hotel room into the elevator, and bang, that's the end. The lights come on. Everybody walks out full of sympathy because this is a shared experience. Everybody in that theater knows how hard it is to get Raoul from the hotel room into the elevator. Everyone has had to do boring, dogged work. Everyone has lived a life that seems to inflict upon every momentary vividness the smears and fingerings and pawings of plot and feeling. Everybody has lived under this oppression. In other words, everyone has had to eat shit day after day, endless meals they didn't want, those dark, half-gelatinous lakes of gravy that lay on the plate like an ugly rug, and the wrinkled clump of reddish-orange roast beef that looks like it was dropped onto your plate from a great height. God, what a horror, getting Raoul into the elevator. That's why I like poetry, honey. You could starve to death on what you get from poetry. The beginning, Ely, Nevada. Can you hear me?